Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Cappy's here.
Yo.
Now, Cap, well, a question came up earlier, and we didn't know the official answer. Are you a Padres fan?
Yeah.
Now, wait a second, Beto Duran.
Whoa. Yeah. Beto, you're like, absolutely?
Instagram doesn't lie.
Oh, are you on Instagram wearing Padres gear?
Yeah, let's see.
The swag from last year, he had the swag chain, just like how you used to have the Clipper chain. You were out there. You used to be a Bronco fan. It's okay. You evolved.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Juan is still a Bronco fan. That's his team.
He should be.
Yeah.
I'm looking for it.
So, Cap, that's the team you've been rooting for, and now that you're on in L.A., have you kind of amended your fandom?
No.
No, he's still a Padres fan.
All right, so you can pick any team that you want to win it all. Who are you picking? Like, who would you want to win it all? Who are you rooting for?
You rooting for the Pod Squad?
Yeah. It's a really tough question for me right now, John.
Yes, because you're on. And by the way, I'm not trying to. This isn't a gotcha moment, Cap. If you came back and said, I've had a great run, 20-year run in San Diego, and I know all the people over there, and I'm rooting for the Padres, I would respect that. So what? But what's your answer?
My issue is this. You see, I had a really long relationship.
Yeah. Why are you scared, fool?
Stop being so defensive. Let him try. Oh, let him try to
filibuster
answer.
Cap. Here
go ahead.
Man up, Cap.
I hear you, Michael. I hear you, Michael. I'm going to man up.
Sounds like you're wearing something else brown in your pants right now.
Well, you know, Michael, I do carry toilet paper in my car, and I do carry extra pants and underpants
you
at all times.
You and Von Miller, apparently. Yeah.
At all times, I carry extra underpants.
So what's the story of you and the Padres? What's that relationship like?
It's not a good relationship anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good relationship.
Why, they wouldn't give you free tickets?
Like, I think you've been open about your disdain for the Chargers.
Yeah, no, you hate the Chargers. Yeah.
Right.
But I didn't know about the Padres.
But he went a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
To a Padres game?
Yeah,
Padres game.
He also went to a Dodger game, didn't you?
Yeah, and I actually, Dave Roberts, I'm going to name drop right here on you right now, Beto.
Played for both teams.
Yeah. Dave Roberts is like, yo, man, you going to come to a game and be my guest or what's up? And I'm like, yeah, Dave, I am. I'm taking you up on that for sure.
Uh-huh. See?
Oh, clearly. See?
And then he leaves the show and he goes to a Padre game. It's no problem.
Yeah. Well, you've been to that park, Beto? That park is spectacular.
I would go to a Padre game every single time. I have a Slam Diego mug I drink coffee out of every morning.
Do you really?
Because I went last year. And their store is cool. The Padres team store is cool. They have all kinds of good stuff. I bought a Slam Diego shirt. I bought my kid a San Diego hat.
Right.
It's cool. I mean, you can like whatever you want. It doesn't matter. They're not paying you, so do whatever you want.
Well, that's that. Therein lies. See, you guys don't understand. It's complicated.
No, it's not.
No, it is complicated. It's very complicated because for the longest time, I was close to the Padre organization.
Right.
You know, and there's been ownership changes and management changes and radio station changes. Mm-hmm. And along the way, relationships got damaged.
Oh,
gotcha.
So you see, sensitive.
The thing is,
so you had a big falling out with the Padres organization.
Soft.
That's what
Correct.
I'm hearing.
Soft.
Yes.
Soft. Yeah,
right.
Soft.
Right.
Yeah. Is that soft?
They hurt your feelings.
Is that soft?
Yeah. If you like the Padres, stick with them.
No, but you got to understand something. I moved to San Diego in 2001, and my kids are all like hardcore Padre fans.
Pod Squad.
Yeah, last night my daughter was at a game.
Joe Fry.
Nice. Night before that, my other daughter was at the game.
It's a great place.
My
to
son's
watch
already
game.
Back to college. He watches everything. All that. These guys live and die with this team.
Pod Squad.
I love me, Joe Musgrove. I love the City Connect uniforms. It's awesome.
Me, I have like a love hate thing with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
He falls in love too soon, Michael.
Yeah.
Do you love it when you're on in San Diego and then hate it when you're on in Los Angeles?
Don't do that to him.
No, it's okay.
Scrap the conversation.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I'm the only guy in the entire industry.
Yes.
That's doing what I'm doing. Because I know people that have radio shows in Washington, D.C. and in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Well, do you really know somebody that has a show in both places?
Correct. Yeah. Right. So he does mornings in Milwaukee. And does afternoon drive in his hometown of D.C.
Who wants to work that hard? Doing morning drive and afternoon
There was
drive?
A guy named Tom like Joyner who did that for
the
years.
Flyaway DJ, right.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah, sure.
Chicago
right.
and Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. So I'm now the only Commerce. Guy in the industry that is actually a middleman now
yeah.
between two cities that are 100 miles apart, and one considers it a rival and the other doesn't consider it a rival. So this whole notion of, are you going to go on 710 and spread Padre love? You tell me. Well, have I been doing that?
No, just be honest. Just
the
be
answer
real.
Is, the answer is, I have a real hard time with the Padres organization.
Yeah, well, who okay. were you pulling for last week when they were in town?
I was a neutral observer.
Neutral observer. By the way, I think this is totally fine, and you're allowed to be a neutral observer.
I mean, like, here, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. Like Manny Machado,
whoever
right?
Whoever wins my team.
Johnny Hustle?
Manny Machado. Like, I cannot stand him.
Love yeah. him.
Okay, so Padre fans love him because he's now their guy. Huh. They hated him when he was a Dodger. Most baseball fans hated him when he was an Oriole. But now that he's a Padre, like I look at him and I'm like, you just got swept by the Dodgers and you're breaking out the I'm Manny effing Machado. Like,
hell
bro,
yeah.
really? But then
good
you see, but
you.
Then but then last
it
night
with Kevin Durant.
Then last night he hits a 3-run home run to walk off a game, and you're like, okay, well now you're Manny effing Machado,
yeah. right?
You know.
So better, so, you're all cool with Manny.
Love that guy.
Why?
Because he's so arrogant and so cocky and full of himself that I love those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Because you're going to come out there and, like, you know what? Boo me all you want. Great. I'm still going to go live my life and still perform
I'm
whatever
I'm still
going
to walk to that ground ball.
Yeah.
I am still I am still going to crawl the first base.
Those couple months when he was a Dodger, you loved him too.
No.
Yeah, you did.
Absolutely not.
Wait, he won you a couple games.
Johnny Hustle. That's when he brought up the Johnny Hustle thing and said hustling is not his cup of tea.
It's not.
We turned on him right there.
No. First of all, there's also so much fake hustle in sports. Guys that are overreacting, Kike Hernandez. So you want to go out there and, oh, I'm hustling so much. Nah, there's no need.
I can identify hustling.
You can also identify.
Manny Machado doesn't do it. I watched him
he's not getting paid
walk
to, hustle.
To a ground ball last
he's getting
week.
Paid he's to not hit getting bombs. Paid to
well, he's got 19 homers and 60 RBIs. That's
you're
right.
not paying
guys,
these guys
like that
to
grow
hustle.
On trees.
Like, I remember Garrett Anderson, why didn't you dive? I ain't getting paid to get hurt. No. I'm more valuable on the field, man. There's no need for that extra effort. You know, that Johnny Hustle guy, great, yeah. Then you're on the DL after you break a rib. Not forget that.
Hey, speaking of which, tomorrow night is the Field of Dreams game.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Is anybody watching that?
Yeah,
no
I'll
interest.
Watch it.
I think it's
no
really
interest.
Neat. Yeah.
No interest in
Michael?
That.
No, I didn't even know it was on.
It was one of the highest-rated baseball games of
and who's
year.
Playing in this game? Is it like Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, like two really bad teams or something like that? Or is it actually interesting?
I don't remember no. who the two teams are. Last year, it was Yankees-White Sox.
And Tim Anderson said he had no clue about Field of Dreams, that he didn't watch it. He said African-Americans don't watch Field of Dreams. And he was on the CC Sabathia podcast talking about how he has no clue about these guys going to a cornfield in Iowa. And, you know, it's marketing. Are they going back to the world one time too many? Probably. Does it look really cool on TV? Yeah, like Kevin Burkhardt and Frank Thomas were driving through a Iowa cornfield today in a VW bus. It's great. I mean, I've watched the movie, one of my favorite movies. You know, when I went to Boston the first time, I said, if you build it, he will come. I'm looking for James Earl Jones to come out. But it's a folksy book, movie
yeah,
kind
sure,
of thing.
It is.
But do I really want to watch somebody playing in the middle of the week there? Not really.
The beauty of it, it's not required. I think it's really cool.
Hey, Michael, let me ask
you
something.
See,
did you
$100 t-shirts there.
Are they really?
Yeah, it's working.
Michael, did you see the whole Steph thing go down last
yeah.
night?
Yeah, that's cool. Cool, right?
That was super cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of pressure. I was like, please, Trace, get a hit here.
Yeah.
Make it worth
right, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Steph Curry was sitting next to the Dodger dugout last night, and Trace wasn't in the lineup. Trace Thompson, Michael's youngest son, who knows Steph because through Clay. And he got up to leave, and Dave Roberts noticed he was leaving and had somebody flag him down and say, hey, tell Steph not to leave. I'm going to pinch hit Trace.
What
yeah.
Oh, that's well, that's cool. What I wanted to just confirm, like, because that was what I had read, that Dave Roberts literally signaled over to Steph Curry and goes, yo, hold on, don't leave yet, because Thompson's about to get up. And then Trace comes up and hits a double, and Steph is videotaping the entire time. What I haven't done, though, is I haven't gone to Steph's Instagram or Twitter or anything. Has anybody seen the video that he shot of Trace's double last night?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Did he
Where'd
put
you
it
see
out
it?
On Instagram?
Well, it was mostly, I haven't seen his video of it, but I've seen videos of him.
Right, that's going. What I've seen. Yeah. Everybody had video of Steph right. videoing Trace, but we haven't seen Steph's video that he shot of Trace.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't put it on his Instagram.
Yeah, yet. It's not on Instagram. Yeah,
that's what I wanted to see.
Yeah, he usually does it. Yeah, that was nice of Steph to stick around for that.
Yeah, that was
What
cool.
was he doing? I mean, Michael, did you know?
He was a fan. He was drinking his beers, man.
Yeah, he just wanted to go to a game.
Trace said that it wasn't like he called him and said, hey, I'm coming to the game, or can you leave me tickets? I mean, just...
Steph was in Long Beach. He and Snoop dedicated a court in Long Beach, so that's why he was in the area.
Cubs-Reds is the
game.
Yeah,
that's the matchup. No, by the way, the get-in price... $850.
Oh, come on.
That's a Field of Dreams game.
How many fans can they fit in there?
Don't know, but there are tickets going for as much as $5,200.
Well, there's not that many. I think it's like
It's a very small venue.
Yeah. No interest.
I mean, it's surrounded by corn.
Is it a good visual on TV?
It looks really good on TV.
Joe Davis is doing the game.
Oh, nice.
Pre-game starts at 3, first pitch at 4:15 tomorrow.
Do any children come out of the corn?
Children of the corn.
To Michael.
Nice job, Michael.
We're going to have to put you in a penitentiary.
Very nice, Mace. Very good. Mace, Friday, big day for you coming up. Talk to me, man.
So we're coming down to San Diego. We're going down to Del Mar for a couple of days, and we're going to the track on Friday.
Mm-hmm. And are Cappy, you off on Friday?
I'm off on Friday. I'm off Thursday and Friday. I don't know.
Me and you, Michael, let's take over.
Friday? Check with John.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if
Michael's
you guys
not
want
work
the show,
anymore.
Take it.
Yeah. No, it's available the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Next week, John's gone. It's available all next week, too.
Oh, perfect, I'm in.
No, actually, next week, are we spinning the wheel of hosts next week? I never know
we
who's going to
We are spinning the wheel of hosts next week.
All right, good.
Yeah. You guys going to be
Who's it going to be? Nobody knows. Field
of I won't. Mason will. You can text Bergman. You can come up if you want.
Yeah, I'll be here.
I'll be here Tuesday. Great. Come hang out.
Okay. So, Mace, you're all ready to come down, and you're going to go to the track? You have the proper hat?
I don't know. What kind
seersucker.
Of hat do I wear?
You need a seersucker.
Seersucker
suit.
Suit.
Yeah, you need a suit. You need to wear shoes.
He'll bring a regular sucker, like a popsicle. Does that count?
No, but Mace said he wanted to go casual. He didn't want to get all dressed up.
Fancy Mace, bro.
No, I'm going to go Sunday swagger.
No.
I love my Sunday swagger shirts. No. Yeah,
that isn't cut it at Del Mar.
No.
Yeah, it does. It's fine.
I'm not trying to fit in with the fancy crowd.
Like the one that Judge Smales bought in Caddyshack.
Fedora.
You wear that one right
come
there.
On.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You got a fedora? You got to break it out.
I own a fedora. Yeah.
If you have one, you should wear one.
I wear the same hoodie at work every day. Yeah, I've got a fedora.
And a monocle?
I got you set up in a much more casual section because I definitely thought you and Juan were going like flip flops and board shorts.
Absolutely, that's what we're doing.
Be fancy, be bougie.
I'm not.
Come on.
I'm not. I don't like bougie.
You can't hang out.
I don't
with
enjoy
the
booze.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not a
millionaires.
Boozer.
Hang out in a certain area. You got to go hang out with Cap.
No.
Are you going to bet down there, Mesa?
I'm going to play the ponies.
Oh,
I play the ponies.
Do you have a strategy on how you bet?
I used to have that. John,
the gray horse.
Jonathan Hardoon and Janice Hardoon. They had that system that they used and always gave me good winners. Maybe they're around. But I'm actually pretty good at the betting. I've done pretty well over my history.
What's the most you ever won down there?
Probably the most I've ever won was the night our horse ran.
Yeah, he just took his wallet to the window and gave him his wallet.
Gave all the money, put it on our horse. Mm-hmm. And the horse came through. It was like 9-1. And
Michael, that thing,
up.
That horse was like a black hole. Right after she won that race, we started getting bills. Horse dentist, horse transport.
Right. Acupuncturist.
Yeah, horse jockey fee. Yeah. I'm like, and I go, wait, Mace, don't we each own 2.5% of this horse? Right. We own 5% total. Why are we getting all the bills?
Right. Why are we getting 80%?
We were suckers.
Yep.
So why did you guys get all the bills? Why not the majority of the owner?
We never really fully investigated.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you guys pay the bills?
Yeah, we paid it, and then we got rid of that horse as quickly as we could.
Michael, why don't you come down on Friday?
We sold her for breeding purposes.
I watch the Kentucky Derby, then I'll watch the Bell or the Preakness in case the Kentucky Derby, see if we can go for the Triple Crown, but that's as far as my interest in horses.
Yeah, but what about a beautiful summer afternoon on a Friday, a Del Margarita, an ice cold beer? Come on, Michael.
A little action at the window.
I can do all that at the house.
So Michael's niece is coming in here, and he's going to the airport to pick her up. She's staying with him for a few days while they're going to a wedding in San Diego. And Michael, you know how he feels about house guests.
He doesn't like people.
Yes. What could we do? Fake fire alarm? What? I'm trying to think of what we could do to get her
out of the house?
Yes.
Hold on. She's coming from the Bahamas?
Yeah.
That's why she's staying with you.
How old a young lady is she?
Shalon is, let's see, I'm 67, so Shalon is 50.
Okay, now when she gets to the house, first of all, obviously take off the shoes, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then what about, like, cleaning her off once she gets there so she doesn't bring
in germs
from
the plane? Yeah,
will
you allow her in the pool or no?
No, I'll put towels all over the sofa so she won't leave any stains.
But, like, you say to her, hey, when we get to the house, A, take off your shoes, and B, go immediately to the bathroom and shower. I don't need you dirty and bringing germs into my house?
Exactly. Yeah.
How long is she going to stay?
Still Saturday.
Oh, that's what you think.
Yeah. Wait a minute. So Saturday, it's Wednesday month. To Saturday. Yeah. No, I in our family, the limit is two nights.
No.
Like, two nights is enough.
Islanders are different, though. Bahamians, Mexicans, you show up for one night, you're staying for a week.
You're
is
right.
That right? Oh, yeah. You're not going anywhere. Michael, I'm surprised you didn't answer the phone.
You know, here's the mistake I make.
Your wife set it up.
They tell me to come into San Diego because the husband has some business there, right? So I say, oh, we're only 60 miles from San Diego. Come up and see us. Next thing I know is Michael invited us to stay with us.
The rich uncle invited us. Heck yeah.
You really got suckered in on that one, Michael.
I love my niece, Laura, but you know, I don't want...
Come up and visit, man. Come stay.
Last thing for you. You were talking about who's going to be the one and who's going to be the two. And so you understand this. The one guy is the one that talks and sort of sets the agenda. The two is the reactor. Now, yesterday you were having a conversation about who's going to be the one and who's going to be the two.
Well, I mean, Wally Cap. You know, I don't want to Wally Pip him.
Cappy's a great one.
I know, but if he lets me be the one, it's going to be Sedano and Durant.
Mm.
So don't do
it. It won't be Durant and Sedano?
No, I know my role. You see George's contract?
So you're gonna be the one here, but then you're going to move to the two.
I'll be the one
when
here.
When they fire me.
You,
right, okay.
I'll be the two with Sedano.
Have you ever tried to be the one with Jim Hill?
I would like to be there for that conversation.
Yes, me too.
All right, so you guys are going to come out. Two shot, Beto on the right, Jim on the left. Hey, just for kicks, Beto, why don't you talk first? Yeah,
that'll work.
Yeah, there you go. I'll be in Des Moines.
All right. Hey, listen, Mason Ireland is back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Ireland will be here with Momo. Woo! Coming up next for you is Cappy.
Nope.
The best one around.
Nope.
Are you really going to be the one?
I showed up with a Target t-shirt. I'm talking boxing and Raiders all 4 hours.
Oh, God. Stay tuned. All right, see you next week, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Bam, bam, bum. Ding, da da do. Bing, ba da bing.
Let's go, get going. We need more energy from you. That's not enough, though.
Better you know who plays the song?
No clue.
You never heard the song?
No.
Eminence Front?
No.
You ever heard of The Who?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah, I've heard of The Who. I just never heard this version.
Wow.
No, I haven't heard this version, Michael. Well, the Kaplan version.
Oh, no. Okay.
Cap, that's not enough energy for you today, man.
You know what the deal
You're
is?
You're a little testy. Start this over. Start the show over. Because he didn't come in with, like, that zest, that, you came in with,
You said the music.
No, but he came in with the attitude that I would have of that. Right, here
well,
go,
I mean,
Cap,
I would
let's
like
go,
for
Cap,
you to
come on.
Join me.
Come on,
Beto, join me.
That's your
Sedano
bit.
Joins me.
That's his
Clinton
show.
Clinton Yates joins me.
This is your bit. You
come on, man.
Let's go. Step it
bing,
up.
Bing, ba-da-bing. Come on.
This song.
Ding, da-da-ding.
This is the introduction song. This is what the Mavericks use when they're introducing their starting lineup. It sounds really good.
See? I love this. The song gets me hyped up.
There you go.
Mavericks do a good job.
But Michael, Beto won't play with me.
No.
No, because you're ruining the song.
Wait,
thank
I'm
you.
The song?
Yeah. Thank you.
It's just, you know, you sound like a scratchy record over an iconic tune.
Love boat, as my boy Bobby D would say.
Sounds like you're in the proctologist's office.
Whoa.
You mean to tell me that when the proctologist goes to work, you're like, hey, doc, bing, out, bun, ding,
All
right, the show's off to a great start here.
It's something we all have to do. Get checked out. We all got to get poked and probed.
Yes, we do. Yeah, I'm going next week.
You're going next week to get checked out?
Wait, you're going for a colonoscopy next week?
I'm going to get checked up. Yeah, I'm in my 40s. I got to get checked up.
For a colonoscopy already?
Yeah.
I guess it's wise, but they say you shouldn't have to do it until you're about 60.
No, I'm going to get checked up.
Yeah.
The doctor's going to check me next week.
First time?
Yes.
First one you ever done?
Yep.
It's the first one.
Yeah, I'll be 44 next week.
Are you taking the pills or the liquid?
I don't know. I haven't really looked at the paperwork yet. I'm trying to avoid.
I've done it 3 or 4 times.
From what they said, I have to drink a bunch of stuff.
My last one was February 18th. You got to drink your stuff. Yep. And you can't eat after like a certain time, like 6 p.m. or something. But you got to drink your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, once that stuff hits you, you are going to get cleaned up, baby.
Yeah.
You know what, though?
I'm in my 40s. I got to go.
I thought it was going to be way worse, Michael. Like, I really, I heard from everybody, like, oh, my God, you're going to drink this stuff, and then you're going to be stuck to the can. You're never going to get off. It was really not remotely that bad.
Yeah. It's very important.
Yeah, it's just the prep work, but the operation itself or the procedure itself is a piece of cake.
Yeah. There it is. Just like this show, piece of cake, Michael. Right. Well, thanks for hanging out, MT.
Depends on the day.
You and I hanging out.
Well, I don't have to go to LAX until about 8 p.m. to pick up my niece and her husband and my grandniece, so I might as well stick around.
And they're coming through from the Bahamas. That means they got to go through customs, so you got to wait even longer.
That's right.
So let's go to dinner. You can buy.
Me buy it?
Yeah.
I'd buy it. I'd pay for you, but I don't feel
it's not a bad call. It's not a bad call. You don't have to be at the airport until like 9:30 now.
Yeah, but you guys are on the air.
I can leave. What are they going to do?
Yeah, but
he'll
be done. Fire me? He'll be done at 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
7 o'clock.
Let Laura and Lindsay take over. Let the ladies take over the show.
Yeah. Ladies
talk as well. Laura could talk about Dodger baseball as well as anybody around here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll say what Laura always says. I don't get paid enough.
Ooh, that's true. Ooh. Me too. She says it all the time. We tried to have her do a fantasy team yesterday. She said, nope. Yeah, I don't want to hang out with the listeners. That's what she said.
That is not what I said.
Yeah, that's what I heard. She's like, I don't get paid enough to hang with the listeners.
That's what you heard. Mm-hmm. That's not what I said. So do not be putting words in my mouth, sir.
See, MT, you're starting trouble here.
No,
I like that.
Watching off of my ladies over there. Make sure you guys don't try to push them around.
I like how Beto says Michael's creating trouble.
Yeah.
It's not Beto creating the trouble?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm instigating. Michael's creating. Yeah.
Michael,
I'm instigating.
I'm
the guy
with
the towel.
I know, Lindsay. I've been in the Bahamas for a while.
I know.
And I hadn't come up because then Ireland and Mason were on site at the Rams camp, so I couldn't come up last week. So, you know, that's the reason why.
You did not go to Rams camp.
No, I didn't go there.
Well, there's no chance.
That's why Michael couldn't come in.
No, that's why I couldn't come in because they were out of the studio.
You should have came to our show.
I should have.
Mm-hmm. MT, can I go to your house?
No.
Michael, I really do want to understand this, though, Michael. When you said, hey, you're going to a wedding in San Diego, we're 60 miles north of you in Orange County.
Yeah.
Would be nice to visit with you guys. You know, you're going to be this close. We might as well see you. How did that go to, okay, me and my family are coming to stay with you? And, by the way, can you, Uncle Michael, pick us up at LAX? How did all that happen?
I don't know. I don't know how they interpret it to come stay with me, which I love my niece. Don't get me wrong. My grandniece and her husband, they're all fine people. They're all good people. I love them. But I can't stand people in my house for days.
But, Michael, you know this. This happens all the time with Latinos and Islanders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? If you tell somebody, hey, come up, they're going to come up.
Oh, yeah.
And stay.
And so I recently went to my parents' hometown, Nochislan, Zacatecas, right? 20,000 people. It's 2 hours east of Guadalajara. And I went. And my cousins, dude, I didn't really know. Like, so where are you staying? I was like, oh, I'm going to get a hotel, like the town hotel for like $30, whatever.
Right.
Like, no, you stay with us. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm not going to stay in your house.
You. Yeah.
They're telling me, no, you have to stay with us. I still stay in the hotel,
yeah,
but that's what you do, right?
Yeah.
It's expected.
No, that's not what you do.
Blanquito, relax. Let me tell you how the minorities handle this right here.
You're talking to a minority.
The Latino crowd is if you're coming to the town or you're coming to the city, expect for somebody to stay with you.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Right, MT?
Yeah,
Before you became...
But you and I aren't like that. We want a hotel.
We want the hotel.
Yeah.
But when they come from the other country, why would I get a hotel? I'm staying with you.
Exactly.
You're going to host me.
That's what
you're going to do, right?
You're
supposed to have the traditional Bahamian food waiting for them, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to have Whole Foods for them, are you?
I just told my wife to get pizza tonight.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Michael, wait, question. If you don't like hosting people in your house, how would you feel if, like, Laura and I were, like, one of these, like, long weekends, like, hey, we're going to go.
Nope.
We're going to go to the Bahamas. Can we crash at your place in the Bahamas when you're not there?
No.
Oh, that's fine. If I'm not there, that's cool.
Hold on. But do you say, Michael, you can use the house, but you can't stay in the master bedroom?
Yeah, just stay out of my room, but the other
rooms
you can use.
Yeah, we'll stay out of
your
room.
Yeah. And just leave, make sure you leave it clean.
So if we go to the Bahamas, we have a house.
Yeah, but as long as I'm not there, you can stay
there. No, not you, Beto, me and Laura.
We are a team.
Yeah, I trust the ladies, I wouldn't trust you.
I'm French now,
we leave that place cleaner than we walk in.
Yeah, I am a neat freak, like, I have OCD for cleaning.
Oh, I'm like you, Michael, I got the cleaner and everything, I'm ready to go.
But I don't trust men in my house, alone, I trust the girls.
Do you have a big house in the Bahamas?
Yeah, it's a nice.
Is it a mansion?
Not a mansion, but it's a nice.
He
size
has
beach.
A whole block named after him, Beto.
Oh, I know that, but nice what about his house, though?
No, it's not a mansion, but it's just a nice, comfortable little beach home.
It's on the sand?
Of course. Yeah. Where else would you have a house in the Bahamas?
Yeah.
But no, I trust Laura and Lindsay did in that house alone. Not, you know, not
like
you
they say in Spanish, aquí tienes tu casa. Here's your house. For me? No?
Not for men, no. I know, because Cap, you know how sloppy men are. And you guys,
yeah, well, man, oh, oh, no, listen, this is the wrong show.
Nasty.
But let
men
me just
nasty.
Tell you something. As soon as your relatives, though, arrive from the airport, mm-hmm. and you I have to be visita, in a
yeah.
car,
mm-hmm.
you got to be in a car with these people
yep.
that are carrying who knows what from the airplane and what they're bringing with them from the Bahamas, yep. et cetera, et cetera. As soon as they get to your house, knowing what I know about you and a germ freak that you are, you got to clean everybody off. Right?
Well, no. I mean, obviously, they'll be on an airplane for several for about 8 or 9 hours. I would suggest they take a shower. Get
but
those
they also know how you are, right?
Yeah.
Because they're a close family. It's
right.
not like a distant cousin.
Right.
This is like somebody that you probably
yeah.
grew up with or you know
yeah.
or something like that.
Exactly.
So they know how anal you are about yeah. your cleanness,
yes.
right? So they know they're going to come in and they're going to go and
yeah.
take care
they'll
of
They'll respect the home.
Okay.
I know they'll respect it. They're not
going right.
to be sloppy like you and Cap would be.
No. I'm dropping stuff everywhere because I figure you got
right
three
now.
Maids.
Yeah. I'd go yeah. to the couch and there'll be your drawers on the couch.
Absolutely. The trantarants are ready to go, man.
No way, man. No way.
Yeah. Let's go.
I can't believe you would go down to Mexico and not stay with your relatives. You're going to stay in a hotel and insult your family like that?
That's what I
absolutely. I don't know these fools.
Yeah, when I go to the Bahamas, I always stay in a hotel. I can
yes.
I can stay in my
I want to make noise house. By myself. I don't want, yeah. you know, like, no, man.
Yeah, I don't want to be obligated to someone's rules. I want to, you know,
and
be
they
a,
and
judging.
Also, Cap, too, it's not like, oh, we have another room. It's like, there's a couch.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you're staying with us.
And judgy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I feel the opposite. I feel the total opposite. Like, I'm going to Pittsburgh, and my people in Pittsburgh are like, you're coming to stay with us, right? I'm like, of course I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm coming to stay with
you. They probably
have
a big house.
Yeah, big
Michael,
fat house.
Exactly.
Nice.
Well, think about when there's like a one-bedroom hut, and then they're telling you to stay
exactly.
here, too.
It's all right. I'll sleep on the floor.
Hey, does Clay have a house in the Bahamas?
Not yet, but he's thinking about doing it.
Oh, nice.
I told him he should because he loves the ocean so much.
Well, he's got
he
a
loves
boat.
Boating so much. I said, well, Clay, if you're going to own a boat, this is the place to own a freaking boat.
Are your kids Bahamians?
What, my
like
oldest,
citizenship?
My oldest son got his Bahamian passport so he could play for the Bahamas.
Okay.
So he's a dual citizenship citizen. I keep asking, telling Clay and Trace that they should get their Bahamian passports too, especially
yeah.
when they retire, because then they can
taxes.
Do, for tax
yeah.
reasons. When they retire and stuff. But they'll do it eventually.
All right, nice.
Take
nice,
advantage
nice.
Of it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go. We got to do a show.
In the Bahamas?
Yes.
Oh, I've been lobbying that for years.
Well, wait,
it,
where
it,
in
Michael.
The Bahamas are we talking about? Are we talking like
Nassau
the Bahamas?
Yeah, Nassau.
Yeah.
Right down there.
You actually
right
grew up in Nassau.
Yep, right in the capital. So it's real nice.
Wow.
And it's good enough where you have the little city, you have the town where all the tourists go, so all the touristy things. And they also have private areas where you can get away from all the touristy things and be in the island life.
With
nice
the people.
Slow pace. With the people, yeah.
yeah.
So we have best of both worlds.
Nice.
Because I like the American way. I like having the Americans over and all the American TV shows and all the American products. We love that stuff,
too, you like watching Bonanza.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And All in the Family and stuff like that. Golden Girls. So we had all our American TV stations. It's not like being in Jamaica or the Virgin Islands. You're way down in the Southern Caribbean, way away from America. We're right next door.
MT, they love me in Jamaica now.
They do?
So I'm working for this boxing company called United Promotions out of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Jamaicans live in Toronto.
Yep, yep.
And the guys that were on the Jamaican national team for boxing that went to the Olympics, they signed with this promoter. So we do a fight. I'm going back there in a couple of weeks. The fights are shown pay-per-view in Jamaica.
Wow.
And because I'm doing the play-by-play
yeah.
and I'm throwing out, little Don Pay or whatever, just the little things, like just little things to the steel pulse or whatever, just
yeah.
the references.
Right.
And people, oh yeah. They're like sending me messages. We love you. This, this, and that. So, yeah.
Wait, you
so,
make reggae references? And
absolutely.
They love you. All right.
Because
okay,
you got to know the audience, man.
Yeah,
know
you
your
said
audience.
Steel pulse.
Oh, yeah. People
I mean,
on the islands.
Not
any,
obvious.
Any,
Bob Marley.
Any kind of little gesture you make to recognize them or give them any kind of, like mm-hmm. Clay, when Clay was at the NBA Finals, he put the Bahamian flag on,
yeah.
his, on his shoulder, represent his Bahamian roots. He doesn't have to pay for anything anymore in the
Bahamas. Toscano and put on the Mexican flag.
Yep, Toscano
had played 2 minutes.
Yep.
Who cares?
Yep.
The dude,
exactly.
he's half Mexican.
Exactly.
We claim we're running with him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He can
exactly.
go to Mexico now not to pay
if
for
we
anything.
Are.
And he played there, too, so
yeah.
he knows what's up.
Oh, yeah. He's got to do that. That's why I went.
All right, Michael, you going to stick around and hang out with us a little
bit?
Here?
You got nothing else to do.
I got nothing else
no,
to do
I realize
for the next
that.
Couple hours. I mean, because I'm not going to go sit at LAX right now and just wait for the next
no.
4 hours.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Michael,
Michael
Uber.
Thompson is in.
Just
Beto
send the Uber.
Is in.
I told
this is going to be a great afternoon. I don't know what's going to happen. I can tell it's going to be chaos.
Bah,
this
bah,
is,
bah,
yeah, come on.
Bah,
there you go.
Bah,
bah, bing,
bada,
do, yeah. Ding, bada, bing, ba-ding, ding, ding.
Michael, he's on no.
Come on, Beto. Play
you,
along.
You got all I got. That's
you know,
all I got.
Come on.
And we told our niece, too. I told my niece, listen, if you're going to come to L.A., fly into John Wayne. At least
oh,
let me pick you up
that's
there.
That's closer to you.
No, yeah. they got to connect, Michael.
And they go to LAX instead.
Michael, you can Uber them to the station so they could just be
Michael,
here.
Michael, it's an international.
Yeah, they're from the Bahamas. They probably never rode in a car before.
Really?
Wow. You have a nice ride, Michael, so they're going to be like Uber Black.
That's right.
Exactly. Hey, that's racist.
That's right. Not at all. Not at all.
You Uber would Black. Take it there.
Uber Black
you
is the would. Highest It's the highest oh, level, right?
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Right.
Oh, my God.
All right. You Michael's
Uber
in.
Black is better
Beto's
than Uber
in.
Brown.
This is going to be chaos. Oh, my God.
Right. Somebody's being fired again.
Oh, my goodness.
We all can laugh at ourselves.
Craziness ensues on Sedano and Cap next on 710 ESPN. Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN. Michael Thompson's in the house.
Yeah.
Beto Duran is in the house.
Yes, sir. What is this?
And
it's Michael Jackson.
Come on.
Off the wall. You never heard this?
No.
You ever heard of Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, just check it. Yeah. You never heard Off the Wall? This song.
Come
on, you're joking.
Come on, Beto. For reals?
You never heard this song.
Okay, why did I say who's this?
But maybe you didn't hear the introduction, but now you recognize it?
Not yet.
What? Even Laura knows this.
She's a music person.
I
what?
Know good music.
Yeah.
What?
You never heard this song.
Come on, Beto. Tonight.
Oh, now I have. Now oh, this okay. part. Yeah, come yeah, yeah.
On. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Come a little on. Too slow for me, though.
Too slow?
Enjoy yourself. Yeah.
I mean, Michael was what, early 80s?
Yeah.
Mid 80s?
70s,
this
really.
Is 1979, the Off the Wall album.
I was
came
born
out
in 78.
Today.
So,
in 1979.
I mean,
you know Elvis songs, right?
But, like, my older siblings, like Gabriel and Irma and all that, they were listening to more like the Journey, mm-hmm. Bon Jovi kind of stuff, Depeche Mode. That's the kind of music that was being played at my house. Or Art LeBeau, you know, the oldies.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. Michael
really wasn't.
His records didn't cross over.
Not in our house because we also had the Spanish music going on, too. So, I mean, yeah, you would know.
Those Bookies.
Oh, absolutely, man. Los Buki, Los Yonix.
Who was
Temerarios? Oh, yeah.
In Spanish music, who is the Michael Jackson of Spanish music?
Oh, like pop like that?
Yeah.
Like,
is there one guy?
Juan Gabriel.
Juan Gabriel's pretty good.
He's the Michael Jackson of...
He's kind
of
hard because he's...
Michael. Can he moonwalk?
Juan Gabriel put on a show, man. Juan Gabriel's more like Elton John, though.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
If you
more
figure
mellow,
it out.
More mellow.
No, eccentric.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know Michael Jackson's songs, but it wasn't like I'm like, oh, let me play this song over and over and over.
I think you're going to hear more of him today.
Why?
Because Off the Wall, because Off the Wall was like one of his greatest albums from 1979. Today's the anniversary, and that's what we do around here. That's why.
Okay. I mean, like Morales is a young guy, but he knows. Like, I'm not a music. I don't care. I don't need to go to concerts. That's not my thing.
Could Michael Jackson, as great as, I don't know if he was a songwriter or artist as he was. Did he play an instrument? I've never seen him play an instrument.
I don't think so, but who were the brothers in the band that actually did play guitar
Tito.
And bass?
Tito was the only one who played a guitar. Oh, Jermaine.
Tito and
Jermaine. That's it.
And then Janet had the keyboard, but like the...
Janet could play the keyboard?
Well, didn't she have like the keyboard, but like as a guitar kind of thing, singing over her shoulder? Didn't I have a picture like that?
The keytar.
The keytar. Yeah, yeah. Did she do it?
Janet Jackson? No way.
I never saw it.
Me neither.
I feel like that was a thing, yes.
Yeah, like the keytar, like she like style kind of thing. I think it's just a picture I saw. I don't know.
It must be a picture. Maybe a prop.
Yeah,
anybody
exactly.
in the community know if Janet Jackson plays the keytar? And if so, can you guys post
a
picture?
There's a thing called Google, Cap.
Yeah.
I don't need to Google it.
Ask Jeeves while you're at it. Yeah,
yeah. I don't need to Google things, Lindsay. I have an entire community of people that have immediate answers a lot faster than me sitting here Googling.
MT, did you meet Michael Jackson?
Never met Michael Jackson. Always wanted to. One time I was at the Janet Jackson concert at the Forum when I was a Laker. She was putting on and Michael Jackson was sitting about 6 or 7 seats away from me watching his sister perform, and I so wanted to go over there and just give him a kiss and just give him a hug because I just love Michael Jackson so much, but I was too scared, too chicken to go over there and say hi. He was kind of, you know, he was sort of sitting kind of cool. I didn't want to go bug him.
That was a Rhythm Nation tour?
Yeah, I think so.
I remember that because my older brother Gabriel, so a guy that we knew in Carson, Rex Salas, was her keyboardist.
Yeah.
So he was from Carson. He played in the keyboard for her and
I
stuff
so
like that.
Excited
he married Rebe. Or daughter or something like that.
Yeah, I've met some pretty historic, like I was talking to Kareem one time. I said, Kareem, who have you met like throughout history? And he's met some iconic figures, people like Martin Luther King, Jackie Robinson. I think I have met the iconic figures that I have ran into and said hello to, Bill Russell,
yeah,
Muhammad Ali.
That's right. You tell that story.
Jesse Owens. I met Jesse Owens in 1977, I believe. He was in Minnesota. He was up there doing a speech to one of those Minnesota alumni groups, one of those that support the program. And he was, and I got to go in there and listen to him speaking. I was like 30 or 40 people. And I got to say hello to Jesse Owens.
That was cool. Go back to Muhammad Ali. Where do you meet and run into and spend time? I'd be curious because I have one interaction with Muhammad Ali.
It was 19.
And it was one of those things where you're so utterly starstruck, you know?
This was the 60s. This is how old I am, folks. This is 1968.
Okay, what's going on?
My father took us to New York on a trip, on a vacation. So we were staying at the Americana Hotel. I was 13 years of age. I got a picture of it. Where's my picture of it? I said, showed you my picture of it.
Did you have a fro?
No, but I was a good-looking kid.
How tall were you at 13? 6'6"?
No, I was about
6'4".
Maybe 6 feet around there, and I was a little chubby. I'm looking up my photo here.
All right, so your father is taking you and the family from the Bahamas to New York.
To New York City, and so we were staying at this hotel, the Americana Hotel. This was
you guys didn't stay with relatives in New York?
No relatives.
They didn't have any.
Yeah, we had some, but no, we stayed at the hotel. And anyway, it was 1968, and Muhammad Ali at this time was an exile from boxing, right?
Yeah.
He was not allowed to fight anymore because of his stance on the Vietnam War. Let's see. There's the picture right there.
All right, I'll send it out. I'll tweet it out.
Yeah, pictures of wow. I wish I had my pictures.
It was
like
it's like one of my favorite all time pictures ever. That might be snorkeling on the boat when I look like the Rock.
You look like a stud. You look amazing.
So anyways, 1968.
That's your mom and dad, Michael?
Yeah. This is 1968 now. You got to remember the times. Wow. This was during the civil rights era, and it was some hotels that black families couldn't stay in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was that kind of segregation still going on. Anyway, so we were staying at this hotel that allowed integration. Sounds crazy to talk like this way now, huh? Mm-hmm. It allowed integration and families of all races to stay there. So we were staying at the Americana Hotel in the lobby, and we were standing in the lobby one day, and here comes Muhammad Ali walking through. And he saw this
by himself, or does he have an entourage?
No, just him and one other guy. Mm-hmm. And he saw this. He saw this black family staying at this nice hotel, and he says, "Whoa, look at this! How about this? What are you guys doing here? We've got a black family staying at this hotel." This is the time we're talking, folks. Now, this is the '60s and the civil rights era. A lot of segregation going on. Couldn't go to certain restaurants and stuff like that. So anyway, I'm 13 years of age, and so he comes up to us because he notices this black family staying at this pretty swishy, nice hotel, which is rare back in those days, folks. And so he wanted to come over and see who we were and what we were doing there.
Really?
And he said, "This is so rare to see." And we told him we were from the Bahamas. And my father always had his camera with him. He was like a tourist. Even at home, he always had his camera logging our family history and anything. So anyway, he starts snapping all these pictures of Muhammad Ali talking to me, my younger brother Andy, who was the producer for The Last Dance,
one of my
sisters, and my other brother was there, and my mother. So he was standing there, and he was talking to us. My father took that picture, and that's when I got to talk to Muhammad Ali, and he signed a dollar for me. And, of course, I ended up spending that dollar when I was broke. And I'm so mad at myself that I spent that dollar.
Yeah, I tweeted out the picture in the community and also on my Twitter at Durant Sports, and Cap, I tagged you on it. It's an awesome picture
to have. This is really cool.
MT, so you were a big.
You recognize me? You know which one is me on this cap?
I kind of think that you're the kid in the back with the wide eyes.
Yep, that's me.
You know, with the wow. I mean, just the look on your face as a 13-year-old child is like I'm standing next to.
Were you a boxing fan at that time?
Yeah. Worldly. Okay, yeah. So when Muhammad Ali fought back in those days, the island stood still. Because we all had to listen to it on the radio, of course, and everybody just got around the transistor radio and listened to every one of his fights.
Wow,
yeah, man, that was pretty special.
Did you ever see him after that?
Never saw him after that. I was 13. Obviously, I never saw him in person after that. No, I always wished I did.
I had one run-in with Muhammad Ali, and I loved Muhammad Ali as a kid because I used to watch his fights in black and white with my grandfathers, and I want to say this is about 1996 or 7-ish, 8-ish, somewhere in that neighborhood. The Super Bowl was in Atlanta, and I went to Atlanta to do, this is the early days of Radio Row. And for whatever reason, that night, I think Mike Tyson was fighting, I want to say somewhere in Europe. And so that night, Radio Row was completely empty. And Ali came in with probably 20 people. And he sat down in this chair to watch this Mike Tyson fight, and everybody sat around him, and I was there by myself.
1994, Cap. Super Bowl 34.
So I just walked up and, you know, said, can I sit and watch? And they said, yeah. And I literally sat, like, right in front of Muhammad Ali, like, sitting on my legs, on my butt, cross-legged, while he's sitting right behind me. Like, I could lean back and touch his knee, you know? And I didn't really get a chance to, like, talk, take pictures. I just sat there like, oh, my God, I'm watching a fight with Muhammad Ali and his family and his people. My only time I ever was near Ali. I was right up on him.
Was he saying anything, commenting during the fight or anything?
No, because I kind of feel like he was already dealing with Parkinson's.
Yeah, right.
You know, and he wasn't the same guy that you were talking to back in 1968, you know?
Because when I was talking to him, man, he had that effervescent personality, you know. And first he said he couldn't believe he saw a colored, he used the word colored back then. He said, look at this colored family here. What are you guys doing here, you know? So it was such a shock to see us up there. And we told him he's from the Bahamas. He was so enamored with us. He just basically made us, adopted us almost.
Beto, I feel like it was
2000.
Later than that.
It was 2000.
Yeah, I feel like it was the Rams may have played the Titans in the Super Bowl in Atlanta, and it was, I feel like it was that week.
So it was 2000, and you were watching Tyson fight Julius Francis. It was January 29th of 2000, and he knocked out Francis in Manchester, England.
Yes,
in the second round.
Right.
Francis weighed 244. Tyson knocked him down in the first, and then three times in the second.
How would Tyson fear today with the heavyweights being 6'7", 270 pounds?
Well, I mean, remember, he fought Lennox. Lennox is a monster.
He was only 6'5", 240, though.
But, I mean,
he had a hard time with Lennox Lewis. He had a hard time with Buster Douglas.
Yeah, Lennox is small compared to, like, Tyson Fury and Joshua now.
Yeah, and Fury is, what, 7'?
6'9", 280.
Close to it.
And can box.
Yeah, and then Usyk is a big guy, too. So, I mean,
matter of fact, let me ask you this, Beto, because you know boxing almost as much as I do.
Almost.
And Cap, I'm sure you know boxing too. My sons asked me this the other day because they know Muhammad Ali is my all-time favorite athlete, next to my sons, of course. So they asked me, if Ali was fighting today, could he beat Tyson Fury? And I said, you know what? I don't think he could. But they looked at me like I was crazy because Fury at 6'9", 280 pounds, with his boxing skills, it's hard for a 6-foot guy, 6'3", 215, to beat him.
But
am I right?
I always say, go back to this one. Roberto Diaz, the Golden Boy matchmaker who loves Ali, whose license plate even says Ali GOAT, always said, you know, Ali would be a different body now, too. Back then, those guys were training a different way. They weren't doing the weights.
But he'd still be 6'3".
Yeah, but he would weigh more. He would have more
but
muscle mass.
But then he
wouldn't
be able to move like he did.
Yeah, but he would adapt a different kind of way, too. And it was just, like back then, you know, you just win and fight. Like when Foreman was big, but
at 6'4", 220, we thought he was a giant.
Yeah, exactly. Now he's a backup kicker.
Yeah.
You know?
Or he'd be a cruiserweight today, basically.
He would be. And, you know,
compared to the big heavyweights we have now.
Yeah, it'd be a different, but they would be training in a different way.
So you think Ali would beat Fury?
Because he'd be... Oh,
because of Fury's size
and
skills.
So much bigger, though, Fury. Yeah. I hear what you're saying, Michael.
Yeah. It'd be like a sort of like a middleweight like Canelo.
It's just fun
fighting a light heavyweight who's a really good fighter.
Yeah, it's just the technical way, the way that you train, the different advances, what you would do.
Was I wrong to say I think Fury would beat him?
No,
I don't think so.
Man, Fury's a big old monster,
man.
He is, man.
That's a big
beast. Michael, you would be looking up at him.
I know.
Yeah, and like his last fight, Ali weighed 235.
Yeah. You know?
I weigh 230 right now. Cap weighs 235 right now.
No, I don't weigh 235 right now. And I'm gonna start on September 6th. Come on, Beto. I'm starting on September 6th. Michael Thompson's in. Beto's in. This is Sedano and Cap. Who knows where this thing is going? This is 710 ESPN. There you go.
Okay, this one I know. This one I know.
Yeah, Michael Jackson, 1979, Off the Wall.
See, yeah.
This one I know.
We picked out a bunch of songs today that we liked from this album.
Beto knows this. Billie Jean, you know Billie Jean.
Oh, of course Billie Jean.
No, Billie Jean ain't on this album.
Yeah, didn't Lisa play this on The Simpsons? I think she had this one. This is a good jam right here.
Yeah.
But it's too slow. I'm like you, Michael. I need that house music to get you fired up, you know?
Yeah, but sometimes it's cool to mellow out just to listen to nice cool
That's when
music.
I put the Spanish music on and start crying, man, with a tequila and a cigar. Yeah. Let's go. Hey, did you get the cigars I gave you?
Sure did.
Okay, good. Were they good?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, I'm glad.
I appreciate that.
I got more coming.
All right.
If I would have known, I brought you that box of Olivas, man. Yeah. I'm ready to go.
And we can ride the boogie.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Who's your favorite artist of all time, Kaplan?
Oh, gosh. Favorite artist of all time?
My
like
favorite
individual
is,
or like favorite band?
Band, artist, whatever. My favorite is the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, my favorite is Pearl
Jam.
Oh, yeah, I saw them over at Staples Center with me and Dave Joseph went to the Stones.
Really? You and Dave Joseph?
I had two tickets. And I said, who wants to go with me? So Dave Joseph jumped on it. So
me and Dan
right next door.
Nice.
That was great.
Rolling Stones. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. You know, they say there's no smoking at Staples Center. Don't tell it to Keith Richardson and Ronnie Moon.
What are you talking about? I thought there was plenty of smoking at Staples Center. I heard your basketball broadcast all year long, and there were people smoking weed all around you guys.
Well, that's true. But now I'm talking about openly smoking, because the Stones will lighten up on stage.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to stop them from smoking their cigarettes.
Well, there are certain artists that just are allowed. Like, if Snoop Dogg plays in a smoke-free environment, and he lights up a big fat blunt, everybody's like, yeah, it's just Snoop. We knew what we were getting ourselves into.
Of course.
Yeah, you know where you're going.
Oh, I saw Bob Marley, too. I didn't meet Bob Marley, but I saw him live.
Where?
In Portland. He played in a real small little
theater. When you were with the Blazers?
With the Blazers. In 1978, he was doing a West Coast tour, and he stopped in Portland, and we went in this little small little theater. It only sat like 2,000 people, and we saw Bob Marley perform live in there. At least I think I saw Bob Marley, because all the smoke was in front of the stage, and it wasn't cigarettes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Here's what I get out, Michael. You're such a straight arrow guy, right? And then you're going to go to see Bob Marley, so you know there's going to be smoke everywhere, contact high. And no matter what, because you probably went to work out the next day at 5 in the morning, right?
Yeah.
So this is what, in the 70s?
1978.
You're watching Bob Marley. Did you have the fro?
Oh, yeah. I had the big old fro, like I was Link on the Mod Squad. Yep.
I have no idea what that means. Bell bottoms?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you the one leading the way, like, we got to go? Who'd you go with?
I went with Maurice Lucas.
Oh,
remember Maurice Lucas,
yes.
The former Blazer? He passed away several years ago, but he took me and him.
Maurice
went.
Lucas, Marquette guy?
Yep, that's right.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
me and Maurice Lucas went to that, and I got to see Bob Marley live. That was awesome.
Let me ask you this. How many players can you name on that 1978 Portland Trailblazer team that you were on?
Oh, all of them. I remember all of them.
You got Maurice Lucas. Guy, who else is on this team?
Come on, that's 44 years ago.
Come on, can you really do it?
Yeah, Lionel Hollins, Larry Steele, Dave Twardzik, Maurice Lucas, Tom Owens, me. Let's see, who else is that? That's six guys right there. Who else? Who am I missing? I know I'm missing somebody.
How about guys like Corky Calhoun?
No, he was gone by then.
How about Johnny Davis?
Johnny was traded to get me to Portland. They traded Johnny.
How about T.R. Dunn?
T.R. Dunn came after I got...
I know this all off the top of my head, by the way, Michael. I'm a basketball savant in some ways.
T.R. Dunn never lifted a weight in his life, but he had the arms of a god. Oh, my goodness. That guy was cut like god.
But they didn't have weights in the 70s.
I know. Nobody lifted weights. Me and Kermit Washington...
He's doing push-ups?
We were like the pioneers of weight training in the NBA. I'm serious.
I know you are.
Nobody lifted weights. They discouraged players...
Especially
in the 70s
players.
And early 80s, from lifting weights, Cap, because they say it's going to ruin your shot, make you all muscle-bound, and you lose your touch, which is totally stupid because now lifting weights is mandatory in the NBA.
Yeah. But except for Clay. Clay doesn't have any weights.
Yeah, he lifts, but he
bands.
He lifts, but I told him he should get even a little bit more buffed, you know, to have them nice arms. But, when I came into the league, lifting weights was sort of taboo. You don't want the training just to discourage you from weight training, and it's going to ruin your shot. But obviously, we evolved, and now it's mandatory for teams.
But, Michael, you're talking about this team, 1978 Trailblazers, and this all came up because you said you saw Bob Marley back then. Bill Walton's on that team, right?
Well, he was on the team, technically. He was still getting paid, but he was not. He was hurt. For 2 years, I was there. He was dealing with foot problems. So he wasn't even in Portland. He was living in San Diego, rehabbing his feet or his foot. So even though I was on the team, he never was in Portland for the 2 years that he was still under contract with the Blazers, recovering from his foot injury. So I never got to practice against Bill Walton or even talk to him because even though he was on the team and getting paid by the Blazers, he was hurt, but he was rehabbing in San Diego the whole time.
But both of you guys got checks from the Blazers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And when I got drafted by the Blazers in 1978, they had just come off their championship a year removed, and I thought for sure we were going to win more rings. Even though the Lakers had Kareem, this is before Magic got there, they had Kareem and these other guys, but I still thought that Blazer team I was going to, Cap, I say, man, those guys, we're going to win some titles up there. Now imagine how different NBA life would have been if in 1984 we would have made the right choice. You know what that was?
Tell me.
1984 draft?
Jordan.
Exactly.
Jordan Boone.
Imagine? Jordan would have been my teammate. Clyde Drexler would have been my teammate.
But then you wouldn't be a Laker.
Good point. Yeah. Maybe, possibly.
And you wouldn't have this radio show.
Good point, possibly. You're right about that thing. You're right.
Life is changing.
How life would have changed if Jordan would have been our teammate instead of Sam Bowie, which is a good player, but we chose Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan. And matter of fact, I used to argue with Michael Cooper, Byron Scott, and Magic. We used to have these discussions. When I was a Laker, we used to have the discussion. I said, fellas, if we would have drafted Jordan, I'll ask you guys here in Lakerland. If you would have drafted Jordan and Portland, you think Magic and Kareem would have won five championships? I say no.
Nah.
I think we would have won some important.
You would have been beating each other up.
Let me ask you guys this. Who would have been a better backcourt? Michael Cooper, Byron Scott, Magic, or Drexler, Jordan, Fat Lever?
Damn.
Ooh.
Who would have had a better backcourt?
Clyde the Glide and Jordan together?
And Jordan and Fat Lever, who was a triple-double type of guard.
Yeah, but he's a throwaway in this equation.
No, no. Fat Lever was legit. Fat Lever was legit. He got traded to Denver, but he's put up triple doubles a lot as a point guard.
Yeah, but none of us have ever heard of him.
Oh, come on.
You've heard the name, Fat Lever.
Come on.
MT, when you got drafted out of Minnesota.
No, answer the question. Who would have been a better backcourt?
I'm going to take Portland's, Jordan no matter what.
I think Portland's got the better backcourt.
I take Jordan anytime.
Of course, Magic and the Coop didn't agree with that, of course.
Of course not.
MT, when you came out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
When you got drafted, right?
Yeah.
How much money was in your account?
When I got drafted?
Yep.
You know, that's a good point, because when you're in college like that, your senior year, you're in college, you're leaving college, you're not even aware of your bank account. You're kind of sort of living day to day.
Yeah.
$50 here, $20 here to get a
Did you have a checking account?
No, I didn't even have a checking account. I didn't get a checking account until I got drafted and went to Portland. That's when I opened up my first checking account. But you're right. When I was in college, I was just living day to day. You know, you're in college. You don't really care about money.
Did
back
you get
then,
a signing bonus, though, in 1970,
no, I got,
whatever?
I signed a five-year contract, $250,000 a year. For five years, which is good money.
Of course, people
like to make that money today. I'm not pooing the money.
No,
folks.
It's great money back then.
Yeah.
So you went from having what, like $8 in your pocket,
probably,
and grabbing a pizza from somebody else to signing the contract.
My
and
first
you get,
check was $75,000. But you know the sad
your
thing
first
about
check
it?
Was $75,000.
But that's just. But you got to put away for taxes.
Of course. But think about it, MT. You're this kid from the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have no idea what really goes on in life because you're still innocent, right?
Exactly.
In a lot of ways. Yeah, in a lot of ways.
And then you finances.
And then you show up and they give you a check for $75,000.
But here's the thing about it.
What happened?
Here's the thing about it. This is how bad things were for people who made a lot of money back in those days. You know what the tax rate was for people making that kind of money back then?
Tell me.
78%.
Come on.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
It was bad.
It was bad back then. Back in
really?
Jimmy Carter, huh?
Exactly.
Really?
And then when Reagan came in, he put the taxes for people who are making the kind of money way down to like
28%. 78%. So you're telling us that the $75,000 check that you got turned into about $25,000?
More like, let's see. Yeah, it's around 7%, because Oregon state tax is worse than that high. So about 70% of that went to the government.
Did your dad take it?
He took the rest.
No, but did you say, okay, Michael, you don't know what to do with this money. I'm going to run your finances here?
No, he didn't do it. I just got accountant. And just
you got an accountant. Yeah. All right.
But yeah, I mean, the tax rate back in those days, like imagine NBA or pro athletes, they having to pay 78% of their taxes. And they'd leave to go to
the live tour.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
People don't, I think that's one of the questions people said in the community, like how's that affect? Of course, you go from being a kid with nothing to having this money. And everybody in the Bahamas everybody thought, oh, Michael's building us a mansion.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, $250,000 in 1978, that's like making probably $20 million today when you factor in the lifestyle. When I came in, you could buy gas for 60 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
You could buy a house, and I think Brentwood for like $200,000.
Michael, today you got kids at USC. We'll get to this story.
Yeah.
Kids at USC are making $3 million a year playing wide receiver at USC. Do you know about this, Michael?
No, but I'm glad they are. I'm happy to hear it.
Let's get into that.
All right, let's jump into that. Beto's in. Michael Thompson is in. What you need to know is next. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.